Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and I am so excited to begin studying Sefer Yirmiyahu with you. We're going to begin with a few short words of introduction to the Sefer, and then dive right into Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. Just as in Sefer Yeshayahu, Sefer Yirmiyahu consists of prophecies delivered by Yirmiyahu, in many cases without any reference to the narrative context in which these nevuot were relayed. We'll see some instances in which the story surrounding the prophecy is recorded, but it's clear that the prophecy itself and not the narrative is really the main event. Yirmiyahu prophesied in the waning years of Bayit Rishon, the first temple era, during the time period that's described in Sefer Malachim Bet, from chapter Chaf Bet 22 until the end of the Sefer, approximately 70 years after Yeshayahu's death, to put it in context of where we left off, through the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. And Yirmiyahu is the Navi who is most closely associated with the Churban, so much so that he's often called the Prophet of Doom, or Navi HaDma'ot, the Prophet of Tears, and Chazal characterize his Sefer as Kulei Churbana. It's entirely about the destruction. So while it is true that the majority of his prophecies do have to do with the Churban, there are three points that are essential to remember. First is that while the preponderance of the Sefer anticipates the coming destruction, Yirmiyahu also contains some exceptionally beautiful prophecies of comfort and salvation. It'll take us a while to get there, but we'll see that as well. Second, the purpose of Yirmiyahu's prophecies was not to just sow the seeds of panic or anxiety. His goal was to move his listeners to do teshuvah, to return to Hashem and to avert the coming catastrophe. Yirmiyahu fully believed in this goal as a real possibility. The Yalkut Shimoni records a poignantly beautiful midrash. When the time came for the destruction of Yerushalayim, Hashem sent Yirmiyahu out of the city to his hometown of Anatot. And once he was gone, an angel descended and kicked in the walls of the city, allowing the enemy to enter through the breach. As the enemy conferred, trying to decide the fate of the temple, what should they do? Four angels armed with torches descended from heaven and set fire to the four corners of the Beit HaMikdash. At that very moment, Yirmiyahu was leaving Anatot and heading back to Yerushalayim. And when he saw the smoke coming from Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, his very first thought, even after all his prophecies of doom, was, perhaps the people have repented. And the smoke of the Ketoret, the daily incense offering, is once again rising from within the temple. And only when he approached the city and witnessed its stones falling did he begin to bemoan its fate. So it's important to bear in mind as we study the prophecies of doom and destruction that running beneath them is a strong thread of hope for the city's redemption through teshuvah, even at the very last moments. And the third point to remember is that Rashi teaches that Yirmiyahu wrote his Sefer after the Churban. This means that after the destruction, Yirmiyahu reviewed his many prophecies. We'll see in the context of the Sefer that Yirmiyahu prophesied daily for about 40 years. So after the fact, he edited and chose the 52 prophecies that bore lasting relevance. These were important to relay not only to the people of his generation, but for all generations to come. So in these prophecies, Yirmiyahu is speaking to us. The words that he recorded were those that he knew we would need to hear, understand, and apply in our own historical context. So with these three points in mind, let's begin Perek Aleph. The Perek opens with three introductory verses in which we're given some background information about Yirmiyahu. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min HaKohanim asher ba'anatot be'eretz Binyamin. These are the words of Yirmiyahu, son of Chilkiyahu, from among the Kohanim of Anatot, which is in Eretz Binyamin. Malbim denotes three dimensions which are clarified by these verses, which indicate the book's content, the qualifications of its author, and the author's geographical origins. And the term with which the Sefer opens, Divrei, is a very broad, inclusive term. These are the words of Yirmiyahu, words that will encompass visions, prophecies, rebuke, stories, etc. There's going to be a lot of variety. Yirmiyahu is identified as the son of Chilkiyahu from the city of Anatot, which is northeast of Yerushalayim. Radak teaches that Chilkiyahu is the same figure identified in Melachim Bet, Perek Chaf Bet, chapter 22, as the Kohen Gadol who found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu, just 5 years after Yirmiyahu's first prophecy. So the Malbim says we can thus be assured of Yirmiyahu's qualifications as a spiritual leader. He's the son of none other than the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and as such, he was presumably raised in an environment of sanctity, of Kedusha, which would make him well qualified to be a Navi, a spiritual leader. In addition to his spiritual credentials, this would also mean that Yirmiyahu is very wealthy, thus able to be independent of the people that he would lead, and he can speak totally freely without any concern that he might lose his personal income. And furthermore, he is from Anatot, which is in the territory of Binyamin, so he can't be accused of any personal feelings toward the residents of Yerushalayim, towards whom he is prophesying. Yirmiyahu began his career as a prophet in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu and prophesied throughout the reigns of Yoshiyahu, Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu until the Jewish people were exiled in the 12th year of Tzidkiyahu. So the number of years that he served totals 40, 18 years of Yoshiyahu, 11 each of Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu. And Chazal compare Yirmiyahu to Moshe Rabbeinu in several ways, and this among them, that both prophesied for a total of 40 years. Following this brief character sketch, Yirmiyahu records the narrative of his first prophetic experience. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor. The word of Hashem came to me, saying, Beterem etzorcha babeten yida'aticha, uveterem teitzei merechem hikdashticha, navi lagoyim netaticha. Before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you emerged from the womb, I designated you as a prophet to the nations I have given you. This source seems to indicate that a Navi is chosen entirely by Hashem. He himself has no choice in the matter. Malbim distinguishes here between two types of Nevi'im. There are those Nevi'im who prophesy on a personal level, whose Nevu'ot are not recorded for posterity and perhaps not even shared with others in their own lifetimes. And those prophets work their way up to the level of prophecy, consciously developing their spiritual sensitivity. Others, such as Yirmiyahu, are chosen by Hashem to fulfill a mission. Nature and nurture are not in contest with one another, they simply apply to different situations. So Yirmiyahu is chosen by Hashem to fulfill a mission of communicating, relaying Hashem's message to the people. Yirmiyahu responded to Hashem's call, Va'omar, Aha Hashem Elokim, Hinei lo yadati daber, ki na'ar anochi. And I said, Aha, Hashem Elokim, behold, I know not how to speak. I'm just a youth. Yirmiyahu's hesitation brings to mind, again, the similar response of Moshe Rabbeinu at his initiation, when he initially refused the mission on the grounds of his speech impediment. And the Midrash elucidates further comparisons between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu, including, as we mentioned earlier, both prophesied for 40 years, both were descended from Shevet Levi, both prophesied to the entire Jewish nation, both suffered at the hands of the people they led, and both spoke words of rebuke. And ultimately, the difference in their missions is also glaring. Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to lead the Jewish people out of exile, while Yirmiyahu's mission was to try everything to prevent the people from being exiled from the land to which Moshe Rabbeinu had led them. Hashem responded to Yirmiyahu's initial reluctance. Vayomer Hashem elai, Al tomar na'ar anochi, ki al kol asher eshlachacha telech, ve'et kol asher atzavcha tedaber. Don't say, I'm just a youth, for you will go on every mission upon which I send you, and all that I will command you, you will speak. Al tira mipnehem, don't be afraid of them. Ki itcha ani lahatzilecha, nu'um Hashem, for I promise that I will be with you to save you. And this promise, which is certainly somewhat reassuring to the young Yirmiyahu that he will not have to face the nation with only what he perceived as his own limited resources, also implies that Hashem's salvation will be necessary to protect him from the anticipated negativity with which his prophecies will be received. So a mixed blessing. Hashem then further delineates Yirmiyahu's mission, accompanying it with a symbolic act, something which will be characteristic of many of Yirmiyahu's prophecies. Chazal teach that when a nevuah is accompanied by an action, that nevuah becomes irrevocable. For through the symbolic act, it's as if the fulfillment of the nevuah has already been initiated. So in this case, Hashem reaches out his hand, figuratively speaking, as Hashem is not limited by any actual physical form, and touches Yirmiyahu's mouth, saying, "Behold, I have placed my words in your mouth." And Malbim explains that this symbolizes that Yirmiyahu has been endowed with the ability to actively serve as a prophet, to fulfill all aspects of that mission outlined in the following pasuk, verse 10. Hifkadeticha hayom hazeh al hagoyim ve'al hamamlachot, lintosh v'lintotz u'lehavid v'leharos libnot v'lintoa. I have appointed you today over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to pull down, to eradicate and destroy, to build and to plant. Many of the commentators follow in the footsteps of the Targum Yonatan, the Aramaic translation of the Sefer, who interpolates interpretation alongside his translation. Yonatan translates here, "I have appointed you as a prophet to foretell the downfall of the nations and the success of the people of Israel." Radak suggests that both forms of prophecy apply to both the nations and to Israel, and there are four terms of destruction and two of rebuilding, since Yirmiyahu's prophecies of destruction outnumber those of comfort. Nevertheless, the destruction is for the purpose of rebuilding. The evil must be uprooted and destroyed in order to build a better future. And this is a theme that we're going to see throughout the Sefer. Yirmiyahu now experiences two visions, the first of which is the first of many images Yirmiyahu will bring from the natural world that surrounds him. Hashem asks Yirmiyahu, "What do you see?" Yirmiyahu responds, "Makel shaked ani ro'eh. I see an almond branch." Hashem responds, "Hitavta lirot, ki shoked ani al dvarai la'asoto. You have seen well, for I am diligent to fulfill my words." This interchange is based on a play on the word shaked, which means both almond and diligent, since, as Rashi explains, the almond tree blossoms very quickly. As our children sing, the blossoms appear early around Tu Bishvat and disappear shortly thereafter as the leaves begin to mature and the fruit begins to form. And Rashi cites the teaching of Chazal that the almond tree blossoms for 21 days exactly, equivalent to the period from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, to the 9th of Av, which is a period of impending punishment and destruction from the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim until the Churban. For this reason, this chapter is read as the first Haftarah of punishment, which is read over the three Shabbatot of Ben HaMitzarim, the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. The word that's used here for branch, makel, is somewhat unusual. A makel, as opposed to, let's say, a mate or a mishenet, as the Malbim suggests, might have been used instead. Those are other biblical words for a stick. A makel means a rod, a stick which is used as an instrument of punishment, which would intensify the impact of the nevuah. According to Radak, when Yirmiyahu saw the branch, it was bare, and therefore it took some skill to identify it correctly as an almond branch, which explains why Hashem praised him, "Heitav tal yirot, you have seen well," for identifying the almond branch. Alternatively, Abarbanel explains that when Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, "Heitav tal yirot, you have seen well," he's not really praising him for identifying an almond branch, which most Israeli school children are capable of doing that. So it doesn't seem like that's such a tremendous feat. But when Hashem relays a prophecy to an Avi, says Abarbanel, for him to communicate to the people, sometimes he accompanies the information with a specific image, and sometimes he simply relays the information and the Navi himself devises an image to help concretize the abstract information in the minds of his hearers. And that, says Abarbanel, is what's happening here. Hashem relayed the intellectual information about the impending punishment, and Yirmiyahu himself devised the image of the almond branch. Hashem praised him for the appropriateness of the image to the information. And Hashem asked him a second time, "Now what do you see?" Yirmiyahu responded, "Sir nafuach ani ro'eh, ufanav mipnei tzafona. I see a boiling pot, and the boil is most intense at the northern tip of the pot." Radak explains that the import of the image is the same as the first vision, that of impending destruction, but with the addition of a new detail. The heat is coming from the north, since the northern empire of Babylonia, which is just now beginning to conquer the world, will be the instrument of destruction sent by Hashem to punish the Jewish people. Through them, divine justice will be served, and the Jews will be punished for their abandonment of Hashem and their worship of idolatry. The second vision also has ramifications for future generations. On a deeper level, the north, Tzafon, is identified with the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, which is hidden, Tzafon, within each of us, and is the instigator leading to sin and punishment against which the Navi warns. In the last three psukim, the last three verses of the chapter, Hashem offers a few concluding words to Yirmiyahu regarding his mission. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Ve'ata te'ezor motnecha, ve'kamta ve'dibarta alehem et kol asher anochi atzaveka, al techat mipnehem pen achitcha lifnehem. Gird your loins and be courageous, arise and speak to them as I instruct you. Do not break down before them, lest I break you down before them. Va'ani hine netaticha hayom le'ir mivtzar ule'amud barzel ul'chomot nechoshet al kol ha'aretz le'malchei Yehuda le'sareha le'choaneha ule'am ha'aretz. I have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar and walls of bronze against the entire land, to the kings of Judea, its officers, priests, and the people of the land. They will wage battle against you, but they will not succeed, for you have my promise that I will be with you to save you. And again, while Hashem's promise is intended to alleviate Yirmiyahu's fears, he does tell him right from the outset that he is going to face intense opposition from all levels of Judean society, from the kings and the priests down to the farmers, which is going to require a whole diverse range of self-defense. But nevertheless, Hashem says, I've strengthened you, and you must be a stalwart messenger of the word of Hashem to the nation, a role in which we shall see Yirmiyahu excel as we continue our study of this rich and relevant sefer. Thank you for learning together. לרפואה שלמה ליונינה סימה בת דפנה הינדה, ג'ניפר היקרה שלנו, ולפצועיך צהל, אחינו היקרים בתוך שאר חולי ישראל, נינה וחיים שנקר.